Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories at Tell Us Something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The Missoula community comes together for a night of true personal stories shared live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This episode of the Tell Us Something podcast was recorded in front of a live audience on October 1st, 2015 at the Roxy Theater in Missoula, Montana, at the opening event of the first annual Montana Film Festival. Six storytellers shared their story based upon the theme, Real Stories. That's R-E-E-L. Get it? A movie pun? Never mind. Today's story comes to us from Mike Steinberg and is entitled, How I Got Fired from Hollywood. Thank you for listening.
I'm here to tell you how I was fired three times from every Hollywood job I ever had. The first time I was fired, I was working in the production office of a movie that became known as Larger Than Life. It was shot in St. Louis and starred Bill Murray. When I was working on the film, it was actually called Elephant Man 2, which I thought was brilliant, and I wish they would have kept the title. The movie bombed, but it was about Bill Murray taking an elephant across country. I don't know if you, or maybe they changed the name of it to something else, but whatever. That's what it was, I think. So I was working in the production office. I was still in film school. I basically answered phones and made coffee. And then one day, when the unit production manager was coming to town, they said, hey, Mike, would you go pick up Wolfgang? So I said, sure, I'm your man for that job. So I got in the multi-passenger van and drove out to the airport and picked up Wolfgang. And, you know, driving back from the airport, St. Louis is a fairly industrial kind of town, at least the north part of the city where you drive through. I didn't have anything to talk to Wolfgang about. I felt a little weird, like I didn't even know. And he was coming in early. There wasn't even, you know, much crew there yet. But he was, you know, you get your office set up, and then you get the UPM in. So I took him downtown, and I thought I knew where I was going, but I didn't. So I went around the block a couple of times, and then I was like, oh shit, you know, this hotel. That's right. Okay, here you are, Wolfgang. So I didn't think much of missing a couple of turns, but next morning when I was getting ready to come in to work, I got a phone call, and they said, hey, Mike, we'll send you a check. Don't come in. And I was like, oh, what? And they said, yeah, Wolfgang was pretty unhappy about the drive down. And I was like, wow, you know, St. Louis isn't that bad. Geez, okay. It's a pretty town in some ways. So there it was, fired from my first job. So I was like, okay, it's kind of a badge of honor. All my friends were working on the film, but I wasn't. The next time I was fired, I was done with film school. I was getting ready to move to Montana, and my friend was working in the art department on a made-for-TV movie that was shot there with Leah Thompson. Is that the mom from Back to the Future? Yeah, and the ingenue of Howard the Duck. So it was a suffragette story, and it was big, epic turn-of-the-century thing or something. Anyway. My friend, my very dear friend, James, was running the art department, and he said, I can get you a job on Swing Gang. So Swing Gang, for those of you who don't know, is you know, the lowest rung of the art department. You're the person that, you move the furniture around the set, maybe you go pick up a couch, whatever you do. So we were setting up this scene in some state park with an old cabin, and the scene was supposed to be turn of the century, and this was like where she was when she was a child, or maybe when she was a woman. I don't know, whatever. I never saw the movie because I got fired from the damn thing. So when am I going to watch this movie? we set up this antique bed, and it was a bed frame, and it was, you know, before they had box springs. So they took a rope and you kind of made like a grid, and then you put a big feather pillow on top of it, and there you go, completely authentic. And I can't imagine that the bed actually appeared in the damn movie, but nonetheless, we put this thing together, again, the rope goes across and whatever, and I was like, we got it, and we were looking at it, and I was like, that doesn't look right. And the woman who was the art director, like the assistant art director, said, don't say that. And I was like, no, I mean, I think we put it together wrong. That just doesn't look right. She goes, oh, and she left. So again, I didn't think anything of it because I'm a pretty easygoing guy. And I'm like, well, let's put the mattress on the damn thing. So anyway, at the end of the day, my very dear friend James came over to me and said, yeah, Mike, they don't want you to come back tomorrow. Yeah, so I was like, what? What'd I do? And like, well, they thought you were criticizing the set, that it didn't look right or whatever. I literally like moved, what the hell? That's never happened. Thank you. Drops mic. That's a version of dropping the mic, actually. Then I moved to Montana. I was like, screw this. So, but not even like, I was planning to go anyway, so whatever. Goodbye, Hollywood. The next time I got fired from a Hollywood job, I was actually in Hollywood. I had moved out to Los Angeles to be with Lulu, who is now my lovely wife. But we weren't married at the time. I was living in Poland, in fact. And I thought, I'm going to go to the United States to be with Lulu, because it was pretty much that was, it was either that or stay in Poland. So so I got there and I was like, she had this apartment on Larrabee, which is right down the street from the Viper Room where River Phoenix died. And just, you know, the rooftop deck of this place just approximated that Sunset Strip view, you know, the Hollywood Hills view that you see with LA just sort of spread out, you know. And we were up there the first night, and I looked out, and I was like, oh, I'm in Hollywood. I'm a filmmaker. Wow, that's, it didn't occur to me as the point. Like, I didn't go there to be a filmmaker. I went there to be with Lulu. But I was lucky enough to get a job because I had a friend who ran a temp agency, and I got in the mailroom of the Muppets. Yeah. So the Muppets were at Raleigh Studios at the time, which is an extraordinarily beautiful, sort of picturesque Hollywood studio, stucco buildings. It's right across the street, right across Melrose from Paramount Studios. So it's really, it was in fact, once it was originally United Artists Studios, and our mailroom was at Mary Pickford's office. So there's a great kind of romance around it, and the job was wonderful. I got to do this typical mailroom shit, you know, where you're like, put the mail to the legal department and the finance department. But guess what? I also got to see the fan letters that came in for the Muppets, which was wonderful. These kids, Kermit, you know, it's just wonderful. And so there was a whole section to put that in. So I did like the job, and I liked the romance of the place. And the last, what turned out to be my last night, it was a Friday night, and I was just sitting outside, just enjoying this kind of great January evening, you know, sun sinking, light raking across these beautiful bungalows. And I was smoking a cigarette, because that's what you did in, you know, 1999 or whatever that was. And I was just enjoying, I was just taking in this Hollywood moment. And suddenly this person came out of the door. They said, didn't you hear the phone ring? And I was like, oh, no, I didn't hear that phone, you know? And it turns out that was the person who ran the facilities, the office next door. And, you know, again, didn't think anything of it. Monday morning when I came in, my boss, who was a very nice person, said, Mike, come on, let's go walk in. I'm going to have to get that pager back from you. So I was like, what? What happened? She goes, well, you know, FedEx call came in on Friday, and you didn't do that. And, you know, Sylvia, whoever it was, I made up the name Sylvia. I didn't make up the name Sylvia. As you know, there are people named Sylvia. But this character, for the point of the story, is going to be named Sylvia. So Sylvia was like, you know, had to do the thing. She had to make the call. I was like, wow. So you're fired. Gave the pager back. So that's it. Three times fired from Hollywood. And of course, I mean, come on, look at me. I wear that as a badge of honor. I'm telling you people all about it. And when I was asked to kind of tell a story for this, that was what came to mind, is that's probably the story I should tell. And not because I want to rail on the sort of pettiness of the people who fired me, because that's sort of irrelevant to the story. But how I'd like to connect this for you, when I was in film school, there was a teacher who said that filmmaking is like a war. That was his attitude. That it was like a war. That the director was the general, and the, you know, the grips were the lieutenants, and the, I don't know what, he probably extended it, but I thought, you know, maybe not. Maybe that's not what it could. Maybe it could be something else. And truthfully, it is something else. It's something totally different. Filmmaking is not a battle that you're trying to win. Filmmaking, from my experience, is working collaboratively and creatively with people. People who support your creative ideas. And yes, in some sense, supporting the idea that some kid didn't answer the phone or whatever, to get him out of the way so everybody's creativity can work. Yeah, I suppose that does sort of shape out to a version of it. But in my experience, I had an extraordinary shoot this summer, worked with some people actually in this room, and it was like this, it went like this. It was not like, let's go to battle. It was like this. It was like, hey, I have an idea, and I shared it with some people. And those people said, oh, hey, that's, I like that idea. I'd like to participate. Here's my idea. And I said, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do that, too. And that, to me, is what the experience is about. And I really do think that this other side of it, where it's like, you know, the sort of, you know, crawling towards the top, like clawing your way to the top, is the wrong direction, in fact. And if you are making a film and it feels like a war, I think you're probably doing something wrong. So, thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Steinberg became a film director after studying film at Webster University, where he oversaw the Webster film series for 10 years. He moved to Montana and was the director of the acclaimed Big Sky Documentary Film Festival before lovingly deciding to reinvent the Roxy Theater as a place that inspires, educates, and engages diverse audiences with incredible programming. Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever, MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. Our title sponsor for 2015, The Bookstore at the University of Montana. The Bookstore at the University of Montana is a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. The Roxy Theater, a nonprofit arts and cultural organization that is a place with something for everyone and a catalyst for Missoula's culture and arts. Each year, the Roxy presents thousands of screenings, live performances, and educational, nonprofit, and community events to over 25,000 friends. With the help of hundreds of volunteers, the Roxy merges community, cinema, and education for the Missoula community. TheRoxyTheater.org. Haley Faust. Haley is a graphic and media designer based in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. From concept to final design launch, Haley puts her heart and soul into your design project. HaleyFaust.com. Podcast production by Mark Moss. Thanks to Cash for Drunkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashForDrunkersMusic.com. And thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and especially to the storytellers, Mike Steinberg, Gregory T. Johnson, Kendra Malnichuk, Michael Murphy, Lily Gladstone, Joseph Grady, Allison Whitmer, and Zach Thomas. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Check the website to find out how you can tell your own story and to learn about the dates and themes for 2016. The next Tell Us Something is March 29th at the Wilma. The theme is, Why Didn't Anyone Tell Me? Remember, your story matters. Find us at tellussomething.org. Thanks for listening.